For our scripture this morning, I'll be reading from 1 Corinthians 13, 4 and 5. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil.
I want to take this opportunity to say thank you. We have enjoyed 5 years being with you. We're not leaving right away. We're still going to be around. We're having a difficult time finding a place to move into. So we've been blessed here. But Diane and I have enjoyed our fellowship here. And the main thing we're looking forward to is that day we will be together in heaven. The last few times that I have spoken with you, I've tried to dwell my thoughts around love, what Jesus means to us and how he can reach out to others. And I am a firm believer that until as a church we become a loving and inclusive church to all, God isn't ready to finish. And he wants to finish. And I am a firm believer that love within the church is going to be the big key to our success. And that means if somebody walks in that door that's not dressed like we would think they should be dressed, or he has a bad smell on his breath, or she is not dressed like we think she should be dressed, we'll reach out and we'll love. The kindness of Jesus. We are quick to think of his power, his passion, and his devotion. But those near him knew and know God comes cloaked in kindness. Young couple was just married. Both showed evidence of a recent wedding, and she was thin from the weight she'd lost, and he was wide-eyed at the bride he had gained. Sitting cuddly close on the couch, they told their story. She did most of the talking, which I think, fellas, we would agree that is characteristic. He nodded, he smiled, and would finish a sentence when she stopped for breath. My mother and Mary had been friends since they were teens. So we invited Mary and Jesus to the wedding. My wife knew Jesus. When he ran the family business, we were thrilled when Jesus came. But a bit surprised that at the van load of buddies, there was a bunch, 15 or 20, he offered. But that was fine. After all, Jesus is like family. Besides, we had a great time. Long after the ceremony ended, people lingered and eating and drinking. Yeah, soon the wine was gone. And the waiters were nervous because the people still wanted the party. The young girl slid to the front of the couch. I didn't even know about the problem until it had been solved, and no one had told me. Someone told Jesus, though, and he took care of it. Not only did he produce more wine, he improved it. She went on to say that wedding coordinator reported that the wine tasted better than the first wine that was served. The young man moved up to the front of the couch with his wife, and here is what impresses us. She looked at him and nodded as if she knew what he was going to say. This was his first miracle, his debut. He used it on us to save us from looking like poor hosts. He didn't have to do that. She jumped in. Our town had sick people, poor people. Why, raising the dead would have made the headlines. But he used his premier miracle on a social function. Wasn't that kind of him? As they left, the businessman came in, told us that his name was Zacchaeus, short little fellow dressed in an Italian suit. You could tell he had done well for himself. I had the bucks, but not the friends. Built this big house on the edge of town, but no one ever came to see me. Can't say as I blame him. I paid for the place with the money that I skimmed off their taxes. No one ever invited me till the day Jesus came. Jesus said, I'm coming to your house today. Right there in the middle of town, where all could hear. He didn't have to do that, you know. The diner was down the block, or I would have bought him a lunch at the pub. But no, he wanted to come to my house. And he wanted everyone to know where he was going. This was kind of him, don't you think? Unbelievably kind. Later in the day, a woman came by middle-aged. Her hair was streaked with gray and pulled back. Dress was simple. Reminded me of the middle-aged school librarian. Face was wrinkled and earnest. Said she had been sick for a dozen years. That's a long time, I said. Long enough, she agreed, to run out of doctors, money, even hope. But worst of all, she ran out of friends. They were afraid of me, she said, worried about catching the disease. My church hadn't turned out, but they hadn't helped me either. I hadn't been home in years. He was on his way to treat the mayor's daughter, who was dying. The crowd was thick, the people were pushing, but I was desperate. She spoke of following Jesus at a distance. Then she drew near and stepped back and for fear of being recognized, and she told of an inching behind a broad-shouldered man and staying in his wake until, as she said, there were only two people between me and him. I pressed my arm through the mob and reached for the hem of his garment, not to grab, just to touch. I stopped, letting the people push past. He stopped too, and he said, "Who touched me?" I slid behind the big man again and said nothing, and as he and the crowd waited, my heart pounded from the healing, from fear, from both. I don't know. Then he asked again, "Who touched me?" He didn't sound angry, just curious. So I spoke up. My voice shook, so did my hands. The big man stopped, stepped away, and Jesus stepped forward, and I told the whole story. "The whole story. The whole story," she replied. I tried to imagine the moment. Everyone was waiting as Jesus listened. The crowd waiting, the city leaders waiting, the girl was dying, people were pressing, disciples were questioning. But Jesus was listening to the whole story. He didn't have to. The healing would have been enough for her, enough for the crowd, but not enough for Jesus. He wanted to hear her story, all of it. The whole story. What a kind thing to do. The miracle restored her health. The kindness restored her dignity. And what did he do next? The woman never forgot. As if he hadn't done enough already, her eyes began to water and he called me daughter. "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith hath made you well." Go in peace. I've been told he never used that word again, anywhere. Just for her daughter. After she left, she was right. The kindness of Jesus. We are quick to think of his power, his passion, his devotion. But those near him knew and know God comes cloaked in kindness. Kind enough to have lunch with a crook. Kind enough to bless a suffering sister. Paul writes, love is kind. Nehemiah agrees also. You read in Nehemiah 9:17, you are God, ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abundant in kindness. David agrees. He writes in Psalm 63:3, your loving kindness is better than life. Paul speaks of the kindness and love of God, our Savior. He is exuberant as he announces, now God has us where he wants us. And with all the time in the world and the next to shower grace and kindness upon us in Christ Jesus, saving is all his idea and all his work. All we do is trust him enough to let him do it. You'll read that in Ephesians 2, 7 through 8. But Jesus' invitation offers the sweetest proof of the kindness of heaven. Matthew 11, 28 through 30, he says, come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and I will, and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Farmers in ancient Israel used to train an inexperienced ox by yoking it to an experienced one with a wooden harness. The straps around the older animal were tightly drawn, and he carried the load. But the yoke around the younger animal was very loose. He walked alongside the more mature ox, but his burden was light. In this verse, Jesus is saying, I walk alongside you. We are yoked together, but I pull the weight and carry the burden. I wonder how many burdens is Jesus carrying for us, for you, for me. Burdens we know nothing about. We're aware of some. He carries our sin. He carries our shame. He carries our eternal debt. But there are others. Has he lifted fears before we felt them? Has he carried our confusion so we wouldn't have to? Those times when we have been surprised by our own sense of peace, could it be that Jesus lifted our anxiety into his shoulders and placed a yoke of kindness on ours? How often do we thank him for his kindness? I would suggest probably not often enough. But does our ingratitude restrict his kindness? No, because he is kind even to the people who are ungrateful and full of sin. In the original language, the word for kindness carries a added idea the English word does not. Chiefly, it refers to an act of grace, but it also refers to a deed or a person who is useful, serviceable,
adapted to his purpose. Kindness was even employed to describe food that was tasty as well as healthy. Sounds odd to our ears, doesn't it? Hey, honey, what a good meal. The salad is especially kind tonight. But the usage makes sense. It's kindness, good, and good for you, pleasant and practical. Kindness is not only says good morning, kindness makes the breakfast. Again, doesn't Jesus fit this description? He not only attended the wedding, he rescued it. He not only healed the woman, he honored her. He did more than call Zacchaeus by name. He entered his house. Hasn't he acted similarly with you, with me? Has he helped us out of a few jams? Hasn't he come into your house? I can't help but stop to think. I love good music. And that's perhaps the biggest thing I miss here in Sutherland, is good music. I love to hear the symphonies, the violinists, all. I love it. And it's a pleasure to be home. And I've picked up a lot of the different gospel DVDs to play. And I can sit and play one after the other, but it makes a difference. And I can't help but think that Jesus is there because I believe he provided all of these musicians with the abilities to do good music. There has never been a time when he was too busy to listen to you and to me. The Bible says, Psalms 107, verse 43, whoever is wise will observe these things, and they will understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Hasn't God been kind, pleasantly useful to you, to me? And since God has been so kind to you, and you know what I'm about to say, can't you be kind to others? Paul's question is for all of us. Do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing the kindness of God leads you to repentance? Romans 2:4. Repentance from what? Certainly from ungodliness, rebellion, sin. But don't we equally state that God's kindness leads to repentance from unkindness? Some may think that all this talk of kindness sounds well. It sounds a bit wimpy. Men in particular tend to value more dramatic virtues, courage, devotion, visionary leadership, and we attend seminars on strategizing and team building. But I can't say I've ever attended or even heard one lecture on kindness. Jesus, however, would take issue with our priorities. Go and learn what it means. I want kindness more than I want animal sacrifices. Paul is written in Matthew 9:13. Paul places kindness toward the top of the pyramid when he writes, love is kind. How kind are you? What is your kindness quotient? When was the last time that you did something kind for someone in your family? For example, got a blanket, cleaned off the table, took out the trash, without being asked. Think about your school or your workplace. Which person is the most overlooked or avoided? A shy student? A grumpy employee? Maybe he doesn't speak the language. Maybe she doesn't fit in. Are you kind to this person? Kind hearts are quietly kind. They let the car cut into the traffic, and the young man with three kids move into the checkout line. They pick up the neighbor's trash, and that rolled into the street, and they are especially kind into the church, in kind at church. They understand. Perhaps the neediest person they'll meet all week is the one standing in the foyer or sitting in the row behind them in worship. Paul gives us this thought. When we have the opportunity to help anyone, we should do it. That we should give special attention to those who are in the family of believers. Galatians 6:10. And here is a challenge. What about your enemies? How kind are you to those who want what you want or take what you have? Have you ever watched Storage Wars? Every once in a while, I'll stop and watch Storage Wars, and that's what it is. And there's one or two guys that show up at those things that are kind of antagonistic, and they're always trying to outdo the other person. I find it rather interesting. A friend of mine witnessed a humorous act of kindness at an auction. The purpose of the gathering was to raise money for the school. Now, we've had a few auctions here to raise money, especially pie auctions, to raise money for our school. And I hope you never let that go. The school here in Sutherland is one of the most important evangelistic outreaches that you have. I believe it to be more important than the big evangelistic campaigns. I really do. Because you put into the hearts of those children a seed that it may take years, but it will come back. Our schools are the most important thing we have as a church to do. And Diana has said, and they have said in the educational meetings, and I'll say this, the Oregon Conference Educational Department is looked upon by the nation as one of the most successful educational departments we have in the conferences. And they're learning by, they're observing by what is happening here. I can't say enough. I could perhaps say that I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the fact that I had a father who believed in Christian education. I am not sure, but I'm almost positive. When we were in the third grade, we had moved to a small church clear up in northern Michigan, Iron Mountain. There were three kids, his three and two other kids, that needed a church school, and I'm positive that my dad paid the teacher's salary so that we had a church school. The next year we were boarded out. We stayed with Gramedy Paz, kind lady. No inside restroom. Milked the cow every morning and every night. And then we had to run it through the... Anyway, we had to separate the cream from the milk. And of course there was no ice box, no refrigerators. And it would sit out on the porch and stay cold there. Enough. Christian education, folks, is the most important thing you have to administer and support. They sat on the opposite sides of the banquet room, a man and a woman, as the bidding continued, and these two surfaced as the most determined. Others stopped and dropped off, but not this duo. Back and forth they went until they had one up the bid to several thousand dollars, and this was no longer about a puppy. This was about victory. This was the Wimbledon finals, and neither player was backing off the net. Don't you know that the school president was drooling? Finally, the fellow gave in and didn't return the bid. Going once, going twice, going three times, sold. The place erupted, and the lady was presented with her tail wagging trophy. Her face softened and then reddened, and maybe she'd forgotten where she was, but she never intended to go 12 rounds at a formal dinner. Certainly never intended for the world to see her pit bull side. Do you know what she did? As the applause subsided, she walked across the room and presented the puppy to the competition. Suppose you did that with your competition, with your enemy, with the boss who fired you or the wife who left you. Suppose you surprised them with kindness. Reminds me of a time I was working for a company that they're in La Sierra next to the college. Ace Drill Bushings, which was owned by a group of Adventist men, and they hired a lot of the college students, and doing drill bushings was not a talent that was mine. It just wasn't. I planted more drill bushings between there and the college than you can imagine. I remember the Friday that Harvey called me into the office and said, "Cal, we're going to let you go." That was my happiest day in my life. I smiled, and he and I would, for years after that, we'd see each other and talk about that, and we'd smile and say, you know, that was good. But for some, it's not easy. No, it's not. But mercy is the deepest gratitude, gesture of kindness. Paul quotes the two, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. And if you love only the people who love you, what praise should you get? Love your enemies. Do good to them. And lend to them without hoping to get anything back. And you will have a great reward, and you will be children of the Most High God, because He is kind, even to people who are ungrateful and full of sin. Show mercy, just as your Father shows mercy. Kindness at home, kindness in public, kindness at church, kindness with your enemies. Pretty well covers the gamut, don't you think? Almost. Someone else needs your kindness. Who could that be? You. Don't we tend to be tough on ourselves? And already so, like the young couple at the wedding. We don't always plan ahead. Like Zacchaeus, we cheat our share of friends. We've been self-serving. And like the woman with the illness, our world sometimes seems to be out of control. But did Jesus scold a couple? No. Did he punish Zacchaeus? No. Was he hard on the woman? No. He is kind to the forgetful. He is kind to the greedy. He is kind to the sick. He is kind to us. And since he is so kind to us, can't we be a little kinder to ourselves? You don't know me. Some of you know me better than others, but you don't know me. Some have perhaps found out some of my faults and even some of my thoughts. You don't know the gripes I grumble and the complaints I mumble. No, I don't. But he does. He knows everything about you. He knows everything about me. Yet he doesn't hold back his kindness towards us. Has he, knowing all your secrets, retracted one promise or reclaimed one gift? No, he is kind to us. Why don't you be kind to yourself? He forgives your faults. Why don't you do the same? He thinks tomorrow is worth giving. He believes in you enough to call you his ambassador, his follower, even his child. Why not take his cue and believe in yourself? Be kind to yourself. God thinks you're worth his kindness, and he's a good judge of character. Let's pray. God of grace, we are so thankful that you look to us and you're kind to us despite our return. And now as we leave your sanctuary and we go out, may we learn to be kind to others, to each other. I ask in Christ's name. Amen.